Hey, hey, Rock. Hey. Try to throw you guys off. Hey, well, again, welcome. We are in the midst of a series called Real Talk. There's times in your life where you just need to have some real talk, right? Where you need to be told what needs to be said. Like, you just need to be, like, they just got to cut the fluff, right? You know, and so a lot of times when people talk to you or when people talk to us, they try and be polite and they try and kind of beat around the issue. But the reality is this. There's times in our lives when we need moments of real talk, where we need someone to shoot it to us straight, to tell us honestly, and to tell us what's really going on. And when we look at the book of James is a short book in the Bible. It's found in the New Testament. It's written by this guy named James, all right, if you were confused, okay? I know, mind blown. And so in the midst of it, though, we learned a lot about this guy, James. This guy, James, was not just this regular old guy. He was actually Jesus's brother. And this James grew up with Jesus. He grew up seeing Jesus and seeing his everyday life. And then the cool thing is, I think one of the cool things, like, James did not leave this whole Jesus faith thing behind. Instead, he really understood and believed that his brother was the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who came to take away the sins of the world. And so what did he do? He started following his brother Jesus. And he followed him so much so that he actually became one of the four major leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And so the cool thing is, James is a book where James is just trying to encourage people who are walking after Jesus, who are following Jesus, walking in their faith. And the whole theme of James is this. We've been talking about this every week. The whole theme of James is that we need to have a real faith that works in our real world. James is all about having a real faith that works in our real world. And so every chapter, there's just something really practical that we can look at and really kind of look into our own lives and see in ourselves. And today, it's something that is also equally practical. It's equally big, and it has to do with the words we say. In fact, the theme of James chapter 3 is this. Watch your mouth, all right? Hey, how many of you guys have ever talked back to your parents before and they said, hey, watch your mouth, all right? Yeah, me too, right? In fact, my daughter Grace, she's 2. I have 3 kids. I have a 4-year-old and 2 2-year-olds. And one of my 2-year-olds, Grace, she was wearing like this pink, like ballet dress kind of a deal. It was like a dress and it had a tutu on the bottom, like tooling, is that what it's called? Like this? So I don't know. It was a dress. And so it was pink. And so she was very fancy for wherever we were going. It was completely. And I said, you got to make sure that you don't get it all dirty. And she said, okay. And so we went somewhere and she got it dirty. And I was getting her out of the van. And I said, Grace, keep in mind she's like 2. She, you know, talks, but not a lot. I said, Grace, you got your dress dirty. Like, it's all dirty. And she said, Dad, don't worry about it. You'll just clean it up for me later. I was like, okay. You're right. We will do that. Okay. Sorry, I misspoke to you. My bad. And so, no, but I was in that moment, I was thinking like, Grace, watch your mouth. Like, come on now, you know, like, and I remember the first time I talked back to my parents. I was like 7, maybe 8, right? I was younger and I said something. I don't even remember what I said, but I remember the consequences of what I said. And so it was me. It was my dad, my mom, and my grandma. Now, my grandma was this little old lady. She was very sweet. Her name was Viola. And so, Viola Berry. And so, she was a very sweet lady. And I said something. I told my parents probably no. You know, like my dad asked me to go do something. I was like, no. And my grandma grabbed me by the back of the neck, walked me right over to the sink. She got my mouth open, she pried it open with her hands, and she took a bar of soap, she put it in my mouth, and she didn't just say, like, rest it on your teeth, she made me bite into the soap, and then I had to sit there for, like, 5 minutes with the soap in my mouth, and she said, next time you talk back to your parents again, this will happen again, and I was like, you know, like, that whole thing, like, I was like, I don't like this at all, it tastes like soap in someone's hands, you know, that kind of a thing, right? And so I remember because she said something like, you need to watch your mouth. Now, James is saying the same thing. He's saying, watch your mouth. But he's not saying, watch your mouth, like, don't talk back to someone. Instead, he's saying, watch your mouth because your mouth plays a big role in your faith. Have you guys ever thought about that? Have you guys ever thought about the role or the importance of your words and how they play out in your everyday life and your everyday faith? And so it's so important for James that he took one of his five chapters and he wrote to people. And the way that he says it is he said, tame the tongue. And so he said, tame the tongue. I like watch your mouth better. And so this is the deal. So we're going to talk today. We're going to look at James chapter 3. We're going to read the entire section here in James chapter 3. And we're going to see how we can watch our mouth. Why it's so important that we need to watch our mouth. Like, why is it such a big deal that James is telling us to watch for the words that we say? Now, again, I need to maybe back up and just be really, really clear. When I say watch your mouth, or when James says taming your tongue, and when he talks about the tongue, he's talking about the words that you speak. And so the words that we speak, they come from our mouth. They come from the way that we move our tongue around. And so when he talks about taming the tongue, when we talk about watching your mouth, it's about the words that we speak. All right? And so as we come, we're going to ask the question, like, why do we need to watch our mouth? Why is it such a big deal? And the first reason that James says it's such a big deal, why do we need to watch our mouth, is because our words matter. Why do you need to watch your mouth? Because your words matter. Your words have an impact. You're actually going to be held accountable for your words. It's crazy. Listen to this. In James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And we could also control ourselves in every other way. He says, listen, your words, they have an impact, and you're going to be held accountable for those words. He says, it's such a big deal that if you were able to control your words, you'd be able to control every other area of your life. And I wonder how many times we speak without thinking about the fact that we could be held responsible for the words that we say. I got to be honest. Sometimes I forget this. And sometimes I say things, and Danielle and I will be talking, and she says, you know, when you said that, that really hurt my feelings. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Or I'll be talking to somebody else, and they'll say something, and I'll be like, wow, that really hurt my feelings. And so I'll go to them and say, hey, just so you know, like, when you said that, that affected me. And I think sometimes what happens is we just speak these words. And we speak words, and we speak certain things because it's popular, because it helps us fit in, it helps us get more likes on Instagram, whatever it is, right? But I think sometimes we don't actually think that our words really matter. They actually play a role. In fact, so much so that James says, hey, you're going to be held accountable to it. You're going to be held responsible to these things. And he says, and all of you guys who teach the Bible, you're going to be held even more responsible. So like me and Bob and Mark, when we get to heaven, like, he's going to be like, since you taught the Bible, your words have even more power. Like, your words have even more. So my first thing that I want you guys to understand is, when it comes down to it, you need to understand a simple truth, that your words matter. And you're going to be held accountable. You're going to be held responsible for the words that you say. And so the question really that we have to ask ourselves is this. How are you doing with that? Do you want to be held responsible for the words that you say? I got to be honest. When I wrote that question down, I was like, no, not all the time. Like, I got to be honest, because there's times when I get mad and there's times when I say things I regret. And so the reality is this, though, but it's convicting. Right? And it makes me want to use my words to glorify God, and it makes me want to use my words to help. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the question, the first thing I want you guys to understand is this, that your words matter. And the reason that your words matter is because of the second thing, and James goes on to talk about it, because they have power. Your words have power. In fact, James kind of goes on and he uses these stories and these illustrations to describe the power of your tongue. And he actually says the power of your mouth, the power of your words, the power of your tongue can do two things. We're going to read about it, and then we'll discuss what those two things are. The first thing that we're going to see here is James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, is that he compares it to a horse. This is what he says in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body, and it can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Whoa, that's intense, okay? So what is he saying? He's saying, like, to steer a horse, you put a little thing in its mouth, and then you connect it to the reins of the horse. And then, like, when you pull on the rein to go right or pull on the reins to go left, like, that's where the horse goes. And an entire huge mega horse is controlled by this little piece of metal that's put in between its teeth, right? And then he says, and just like that, a huge ship, has this little rudder at the back. And maybe if you guys have been, like, in a sailboat a paddle boat. You guys ever been on paddle boats? So, like, you got that little stinking lever thing in the middle, and you're, like, trying to move it around. Well, that controls the rudder. And essentially what would happen is these captains, they'd get on these big ships, and they would, like, you know, take their gigantic pirate wheel, and they'd, like, spin it around, and that would control the rudder. And then a huge ship is controlled by this little rudder in the back of the boat. So the question becomes this. In the midst of all these small things, just like the tongue is a small thing in our body, they have great power. And so for a horse, it helps us to know where to go. For a ship, it helps us to go to where we need to go. So the first way that our words have power is they have the power to help us. And they have the power to help others. Your words have the power to help the people around you. The question is this: how would people describe your words? Do they help? Do they encourage? Do they bless? Do they build up? Are they kind? Are they caring? Are they pure? Are they trustworthy even? Do your words help the people around you? James then goes on, he says, hey, and the other way that your words can have an impact is they can hurt. They can help others, but they can also hurt others. And that's when he goes on, he says, listen, a huge forest gets set on fire by a little tiny spark. Little tiny spark. He says, in the same way, your tongue is a little tiny spark that can burn up things. Your words can hurt the people around you. You can tear people down. You can hurt with the things that you say. I mean, I can still remember certain things that people said to me in middle school or high school that I know they didn't really mean to say or wasn't something that they were meaning to, like, hurt me with. But, man, they hurt me. And I can still think of them today. And in the same way, I'm sure that I've said words that have hurt other people that they carry with them today. So the question is simply this. Do your words help the people around you, or do they hurt the people around you? It can be something that helps you go where you need to go, right? Like a bit or a rudder. Or it can be something that hurts, like a little flame that sets an entire forest on fire. We have to do this all the time with our kids, right? We'll tell them, is that a nice thing to say? Most of the time they'll say yes, even though it's a mean thing to say, right? And so, but we have to tell them, we have to remind them all the time. And sometimes I kind of wish, like, there was people who were walking around with me all the time being like, is that a kind thing to say or is that a mean thing to say? But here's the deal. We have the Holy Spirit who comes and speaks into our ear. That's like our shoulder angel, you know, kind of a deal. If you guys have ever seen Emperor's New Groove, which is a great Disney movie. But, like, speaking into our lives, into our ears. Hey, are your words helping or hurting? Are your words helping or hurting? Your words matter. Your words have power to help and to hurt. And the final thing, and this is, I think, one of the most important things, is simply this, is that your words reflect your heart. I think this is the biggest part of the thing. In fact, I think this is what James was trying to get at more than anything. I don't think he was trying to, like, get lost in this forest fire illustration. I don't think he was trying to get lost in, like, this horse and the ship thing. What I think he was trying to tell us is, like, listen, your words, the words that you speak, actually reflect what's going on in your heart. This is what he says in James chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. He says, people can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. He says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth.
Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and salt water or bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. What he's saying is you need to check the source of your words. He says, what is a grapevine going to produce? Grapes. What's a fig tree going to produce? Figs. He says, what is a salty spring going to produce? Salt water. So he says, you need to look at the source of your words. And he says, that is your heart. And so if your heart is focused on sin, it's focused on bitterness or hurt, or anger, whatever it might be, then your words are going to reflect what's going on in your heart. But if your words or your heart is focused on God, and it's focusing on glorifying Him and loving Him and seeking Him and seeking to help the people around you, then your words are going to reflect that. And again, because James's brother was Jesus, he just really copied him, okay? And because some people would say, like, why would you want to copy your brother? Because he was God. That's why. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 12. He's talking to the Pharisees, to these leaders, and this is what Jesus says in Matthew 12. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. And if a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad, right? Doesn't this sound kind of similar to what James was saying? And then he goes on and he says this. He says, you brood of snakes. He's like calling out these religious leaders. He's like, oh, you stinkers. I don't know. That's like, you brood of snakes is like old school smack talk. And so he says, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? Get this. This is the most important part. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So the question becomes this, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? Do you have a heart that is focused on God and therefore your words reflect it? Or do you have a heart that's focused on sin and therefore your words reflect it? Some of you might say, well, my heart is focused on God, but my words don't reflect it. Then I would say it's time for a heart check. Because maybe your intentions are not lining up with what's actually happening. And the cool thing is this, if that's where you're at, that's fine. We're not judging you for that. We're not coming down on you for that. In fact, we want to help your words and your heart to line up. And so James, as he's talking about all these things, what he wants us to understand is simply this, that your words matter, your words have power, and your words reflect your heart. And so our real talk kind of thing that we want you guys to remember this week is simply this, that the words you speak have an impact on the faith you live out. Remember, James is all about how do we have a real faith in our everyday real world. And so the thing about our words, the things that we speak is simply this, that our words play a big role in the faith we live out every day. If your words are coming from a heart that's far from God, then it's going to be hard to live out your faith every day. But if your words come from a heart that's focused on God and that loves God, then you're going to be able to come and live out your faith every single day. So maybe if you feel like you've been trying to live for God or you've been trying to grow in your relationship with Jesus and you've been trying to do some of these things that we've been talking about here at The Rock and you just feel like it's not clicking, it might be time for a heart check. One of the primary ways that you might know you need a heart check is by the words that you speak. I think one of the greatest ways that you can kind of change the way that you speak is to make God's word, the Bible, something that you spend time in all the time. Like you read it, you love it, you spend time in it, you memorize it. And so if you guys have been with us, we've been doing these bookmarks. And these bookmarks that we pass out, there's actually going to be some over here on the info desk. You can grab a bookmark. What we're doing is we're trying to get you guys to read through the book of James over the next 5 weeks, or really the next couple more weeks. And so if you haven't started with us from the beginning, that's okay. You can jump in now. But we're doing memory verses. We have prayers that we want you guys to pray from the book of James. We have reading plans that you guys can read through the book of James with. It's going to be awesome, and we want you to jump in, even if you're just jumping in now, because the goal is this. The more time we spend in God's word, the more we want to obey it. And the more we want to obey it, the more we want to act it out, right? And this is what James 1 and 2 were all about. James 1 says, listen to, or don't just listen to the word, do what it says. James 2 says, you see, faith by itself is useless. You need to have faith and actions working together. And now James 3 is saying this, listen, your words matter. They are important. And so if you want to live out your faith every day, you need to watch your mouth. As we watch our mouths, we're going to see that our hearts need to get focused on him. And so this is what we're going to talk more about tonight in our life groups. But I want to pray for us first, and then we'll jump into our life groups. Let me pray. God, thanks for who you are. Thanks for loving us the way you do. And God, sometimes people tell me that the Bible just isn't relatable to their lives. They tell me that when they read it, it just doesn't connect with them. And sometimes I just honestly wonder if they're reading the same Bible that I am. Because when I read chapters like James 3, I feel like every single one of us is dealing with it. And so God, thanks for putting something like that every single one of us deals with in the Bible so that we can read it and we can learn how we can use our words to live out our faith every day, how we can use our words to glorify you. And so, God, I pray that every single person here at The Rock would watch their mouths, that they would watch their mouths for words that might reveal that they have a heart problem. And, God, that they would go and that they would use their words to make an impact on the people around them. God, that they would use their words to help the people around them, to build them up, to encourage them, to love them with the love that you first showed us. And, God, I pray that tonight in life groups that there would be an awesome, awesome time of connecting and challenging and really just having our eyes open to the power that our words have and to the way our words are reflecting what's really going on in our hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you guys can head to life groups right now. If you need a new life group, or if you're new here and you need a life group, come see me and I will help you find one.